Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation. And, you know, in thinking about that song that we were singing about yielding to the Holy Ghost, you know, learning to recognize His voice is a learning process. And there was a young boy by the name of Samuel one time, and his mother had dedicated him to the Lord. And he grew up in the house of God. He was learning the priesthood. And as a young boy, one night when he was sleeping, he heard this voice, and this voice said, "Samuel." And he thought it was Eli, so he ran into Eli's room because he had never heard the voice of God before that time. And so Eli said, "Well, I didn't call you." So he said, "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep, and then the voice came again. "Say again." Did you know that if you don't hear God the first time, He'll speak again? You know, He's that kind of God. He doesn't want you to miss what He has to say. And then finally, after the third time, Eli told Samuel, he said, "Well, if you hear this voice again, just say, I, your servant, am listening." And when he did that, God began to talk to Samuel as a young boy. So I want to encourage you young people, you got to learn how to hear God's voice, because it'll keep you, and age has nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. He was the only one, but he came out with something to say. And, you know, maybe his first words were, "Behold the Lamb," I don't know. But, so I want to encourage you young people. I heard the voice of God when I was 12. And you'll learn how to discern. You got to learn to discern His voice, and because He'll lead and guide you. He really will. So Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 7 here. And the Lord makes a statement here. He is speaking to the seven churches, and these were seven actual churches. And we're not going to go into what he said to all the churches, because I want to focus on this one phrase. And in verse 7, he says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." How many of us have ears? If you have ears, raise your hand. Okay? Now, sometimes God may not, you may not hear God with your physical ear. All right? But you got to listen with your spirit, okay? Because sometimes God doesn't always speak in an audible voice. I have never heard an audible voice, but that doesn't mean He doesn't talk. And so He says here, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Now here's the phrase that I want to focus on. He says, "To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And he says this phrase to all the seven churches. He says, "To him who overcomes, you're going to get something." And I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you overcome, or are you an overcomer? You know, because no matter where we are, we face challenges in life, don't we? There are challenges with sins, with the devil, with the world, and with our flesh, okay? And God has given us everything we need to overcome, to prevail, to get the victory. And God wants you to have the victory, amen? How many know Jesus faced challenges? Now think about this for a minute. Jesus was absolutely perfect. He didn't do anything wrong. He never criticized anybody. He never spoke a bad word. But yet, every day, people tried to challenge him. They tried to get him to doubt who he was. They tried him to lose his focus on his purpose. And he faced challenges. But you know what? He said, "In the world, you'll have tribulation." But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So I want to talk to you tonight about the overcoming church. Since he spoke this to the churches, And he finished everything he spoke with the church about to him who overcomes. So let's make a decision tonight that I'm going to be an overcomer no matter what comes my way. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm victorious. Say, I prevail over every challenge that I face with the Lord's help. Amen. So we're going to talk about overcoming. And let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're going to get back to Revelation because we're going to look at each of those. But I want to just give you some general things about overcoming, what the Bible says about overcoming. Who's going to get the reward at the end? Those who overcome. Not those who succumb, but who overcome. All right? Think about that word for a minute. Over. Something comes in your way. Something comes in your path, and you've got to get over it. You can't get around it per se. You got to get over it. You know, and one scripture we'll look at, David said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. In other words, basically what he's saying, there's no obstacle that faces me that I can't get over. All right? And with the Lord, you can overcome anything. Amen? John 16 and verse 32. And Jesus is talking here. He said, behold, the hour comes, yea, now is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, say in me, you might have peace. Where does your peace come? Where is your peace? Is it in your circumstance? Is it in your feelings? It's in Him, right? Your peace is in Him. In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Say good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, if Jesus overcame the world, what does that mean? That means you and I can overcome the world. Because what... Even though Jesus is on the throne, He's in you by the Holy Ghost, right? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And with the same way that Jesus overcame the world, you and I can overcome the world too. And Jesus says it very optimistic. He said, be of good cheer. He just told them, think about this now. You're going to have trouble, but be happy. Be of good cheer. What is good cheer? Good cheer is happy. Woo! I'm facing challenges. You ought to get excited about challenges. Why? Because that just means all the things you're going to overcome. The word overcome, it means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I just want to encourage you to be an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Yeah, we're overcomers. We're victorious. Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't take vengeance, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. So if you've got an enemy and he's hungry, one way to overcome your enemy is to feed him. Imagine that. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall reap coals of fire on his head. And then verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How did the Lord overcome evil? He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the enemy. So the way to you overcome the enemy is by doing good. Isn't that right? Man, we can do good. You know what? When we do good, when your enemy's giving you a hard time and you do good, it confuses your enemy. Amen? It confuses your enemy. Now, he's talking about natural, because if they're hungry and thirsty, you know, people who oppose you, who are against you, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Do not, he says, don't be overcome with evil. In other words, that which is in you is greater than that which is in evil. Did you know that you're stronger than evil? You don't have to be overcome by evil. You don't have to be overcome by the devil's influence. Oh, the devil's just running me ragged. Oh, the devil's, no. He doesn't have the power to run you ragged. You have power over him. Overcome evil with good. You have an arsenal of good at your disposal. All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at verse 13. Well, let's go to verse 12. He says, I write unto you, little children. So he's writing to the children because your sins are forgiven. See, he's already dealt with Satan and he's already dealt with sin. You've already been given the victory over them. But what we have to contend with on a daily basis is the world and the flesh. Because our sins are already forgiven. That takes the pressure off. You know, if you're forgiven from your sins can't harm you. Because you're forgiven. And verse 13 says, I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Say, I've overcome the wicked one. When did we overcome him? When Jesus shed his blood on the cross and rose again, that's when the victory was transferred to us. And we can put faith in his victory that he got. You know, he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So death, hell, and the grave, they don't have the keys anymore. So death can't lock you in, the grave can't lock you in, hell can't lock you in, because they don't have keys. So you can overcome those things. And here's what he says. Because you've overcome the wicked one. He said, I write to you little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So can you see another way that we can overcome is by having the word of God abide in you. When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, how did he defeat the enemy? What did he use? He said these three little words, and I want you to say these with me. It is written. See, he always pointed the devil who was tempting him to what the word said. And did you know that the devil couldn't argue against the word? And the devil said, okay, I can't win him there. So he takes him up a second time. And he said, it is written. The devil said, I can't beat him there. Third time, takes him, points him back to the word. And what happened? The devil left him. See, so when you have the word of God abiding in you, the word in you is like instant overcoming. You know, if you have Nestle Quick or Hershey syrup and you pour it in the milk, the syrup is in the milk, but you got to stir it up. And that which is on the inside will affect the milk, right? What happens when you stir up the chocolate in the milk? What's going to happen to the milk? It's going to change, right? So when the word of God is abiding in you, that is how we overcome. You can't overcome apart from the word. I mean, the word is our armor. The word is our sword. It's our weapons. And he tells them that the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. I like what Phillips translation says about Romans 12. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You ever made cookies with the shapes? You know, you have the cookie dough and you take the shape, and whenever you press that shape into the cookie dough, that cookie dough conforms to that shape, right? Well, you know what? We don't have to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. Amen? We can be different because we have overcome the world. Go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. And look at verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! Say, I've got greatness in me. Not only that, but he who is in you is greater. I remember one time we were in Illinois, and we decided to go to this festival. They were having the Taste of the Illinois Valley, and they had all different kinds of restaurants there, and we were witnessing. And this guy came up to us, and he was saying how he looked like Bozo the Clown. How many, you know who Bozo is? He had hair that stuck out to here. It was about 40 degrees that night. This guy, his hair was sticking straight out. He had no shoes or socks, and it was cold. And he came up to us, and he was saying how he could press the Bible and open it to any place. And then finally, he leans over to us, my friend and I, and he said, you get your spirit, warrior. I've got mine, and I'll meet you in center field in the ballpark. That's what he said to us. So we weren't too smart. We went and met him. And we kept trying to get him to say, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And three times he said, he who is in me is greater and he's in the world. And all of a sudden, he leaped on my friend and he had my friend pinned to the ground with his neck like that. And we just started rebuking him. And in a matter of minutes, he let go. It could have been, he could have caused harm to my friend. And let me just tell you, we weren't really prayed up. You know, we were just kind of witnessing because we like to, listen, don't, you gotta be prayed up, amen? And, but through it all, the Lord helped us to prevail. And, you know, I remember as a young Christian, I had just gotten saved. And we met this guy at, he was at outside of the church. Well, he was part of the church, but outside he started shaking and going into all these things. And my sister and her friend and I, we started to pray. And in about 15 minutes, the man's countenance had changed. Because I want you to know that he who is in you, who's in you? The Holy Ghost. And he's greater. Say, he's greater. He's greater than anything you'll face in the world. He's greater than the devil, and it's through him in you that helps you to overcome. He's your strength within you. And I like that. He's in us. We've overcome him because the greater one's in us. So the Holy Ghost, his greatness is in you, and he helps you overcome. All right, let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 4. What do you think? You think John understood some overcoming, huh? He says a lot about it. In chapter 5, verse 4, he says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Did you know that by faith you're an overcomer? Your faith can overcome. Did you know that if there's a mountain in your way, what's a mountain? Something that's bigger than what it seems to be. You know, and that's just like the devil. The devil can't really harm you, but he tries to make it look like he can. Amen. He tries to make himself look bigger, but really he's like a big marshmallow. You know, if you had a big giant marshmallow, and if you were attacked by a marshmallow, that marshmallow can't really hurt you because it doesn't have a lot of substance, okay? But he tries to make himself look bigger than what he really is. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And what I said was, if there's a mountain that's in your way, what did Jesus say that we could do to a mountain? We could speak to it. We command it to be removed and cast into the sea. If we do not doubt in our hearts, but believe whatever we say, we can have what we say. So is that a literal mountain? It's just simply an obstacle that's in your way. Okay, you're driving along the road and a tree falls into the road and you can't get past that tree. You're going to have to overcome that tree, right? And well, that's just like an obstacle, a hindrance. God's got you on a path. All right? He's got a particular direction that he wants you to go in for your life. And the devil will try to put obstacles in your path to discourage you, to hinder you, to delay you, and to try to get you to forget the path that God has you on. Or he'll try to take you out. But you know what? You can overcome. There's nothing that the world can throw at you that can stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Look at Paul, the great apostle. You know, it would be pretty discouraging to me if everywhere I conducted a meeting as an evangelist that I'd get beat up. You know, I'd want to take like who was one of the heavyweight boxers, Evander Holyfield. I'd want to take Evander Holyfield with me as my personal bodyguard or something. But think about this. There was a demonic spirit that everywhere Paul went to do a meeting, that demonic spirit would show up and it would spur people on against Paul. And everywhere he got beat up. That'd be pretty discouraging. One city, they took him outside and stoned him and left him for dead. But thank God, the disciples gathered around him and prayed. See, they understood something about overcoming. And the devil was trying to stop him. The devil was trying to take him out. They prayed for him, and he came back to life. And he went back into the city that where the people were that stoned him. That's an overcomer. He understood that the greater one was on the inside of him. And verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" See, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it's going to affect how you live. It's going to change the way you live. You're going to speak different. You're going to walk different. You're going to act different. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it's going to cause you to live in a different way. And as a result, you'll be an overcomer. Overcomers are those who have faith. They're born of God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They have the Holy Ghost in them, the greater one. All right? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And let's look at verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Let me ask you this question. Don't give me an answer, but I just want you to think about it. If you were given the opportunity to deny Jesus or die, what would you do? See, when we know what's beyond this life that we're living right now, there's an eternity. And because we're born of God, we know exactly where we're going to spend that eternity. So if our life ceases to be on this earth, we're still going to live. Okay? So there's nothing that you can do to this body that's going to make me go fear. Oh, no, please, I don't want to die. How many has ever heard of a martyr? You know, a martyr was given the opportunity to deny Jesus or die, and they would rather die than deny Jesus. And they get a special crown. They're overcomers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We ought to be bold when we have an opportunity to testify that we're for Christ, we're for his cause, we're for his kingdom. The word of our testimony is one way that we overcome, and by the blood of the Lamb, and not loving our life. Did you know that Jesus said when you lose your life for him, you'll find it? But if you try to hold on to your life, you're going to end up losing it. So what do you want? You can lose your life as an investment and get a greater gain, or you can keep your life and end up with nothing. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Go with me to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. We're going to spend some weeks on this because I believe that there are some things that we need to overcome. Amen? How many want to overcome lack? Amen? I don't know. That's a hurdle that gets placed in our lives is lack. Not being able to do what we want to do because of lack. I'm telling you, lack is something that we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen? How many want to overcome fear? Where you're not paralyzed by fear, that when the enemy tries to put fear on you, it bounces back on him. Amen? We got to overcome these things. How about insecurities? You got to overcome some insecurities. You know, you're not sure about yourself. You're not sure what you're called to do. You got to overcome your insecurities sometimes. How about our faults? Amen? We all have them, right? We all have faults. And sometimes we got to overcome our faults, our shortcomings. There's things in life that we've got to overcome. There's obstacles that get put in our path. But really, they're opportunities. You know, I had an accounting teacher. He never gave tests. He always gave opportunities. He'd say, I'm not giving you a test. I'm giving you an opportunity. And what you do with that opportunity is up to you. And so sometimes I took the opportunity and sometimes I didn't. But Psalm 44, I like this one, verse 5. It says, through you will we push down our enemies. Ooh, I like that. I like the pushing down of my enemies. He says, through your name we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put them to shame that hated us. And then he said, in God we boast all the day long and praise your name forever. I like that. Woo, you can push down your enemies. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian does not mean you're a doormat. It does not mean that people can do whatever they want to do. You know, when they tried to take the Lord's life before it was time, did it happen? What did he do? Think about this now. The devil was putting pressure, and he was putting fear. They said, we're going to kill you. Let's grab him. Jesus would simply walk away because he was an overcomer. See, when you have an overcoming attitude, you can simply walk away from the enemy without fear. And until it was time, Jesus, he said, you don't take my life, I'm going to lay it down. And there were several times before it was actual time for him to give his life. They tried. They tried to take him. They were going to push him off the cliff one time. They tried, but he simply walked away. Why? Because he was an overcomer. He had an overcoming mentality. He knew who he was. And go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. verse 37. Well, we have to back up to verse 35. He asks some questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything that can stop God from loving you? No. And then he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who's afraid of a big bad sword? Who's afraid of peril? Who's afraid of famine? If you ask Elijah, God led him into the wilderness, and he arranged for a raven to bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Listen, if you're in the midst of famine, God can make food. He rained down bread from heaven in the wilderness called manna. There were no McDonald's in the wilderness. There were no Funks in the wilderness. There were no hometown restaurants in the wilderness. And sometimes they didn't even know where they're going to get the water. But was there ever a time that God did not come through for them in the wilderness? See, you can even overcome the wilderness. You can overcome the wilderness. God sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness. Their clothes didn't even wear out. Now that's cool. 40 years, you could wear the same shoes for 40 years and it'd still be just like it was. It didn't wear out. They didn't get holes in them. It didn't tear for 40 years. That's powerful. And that was in the wilderness. That wasn't even in the promised land. The promised land was far better. So if you're going through a rough time in your life, you got to take this opportunity to learn how to be confident in God, how to have an overcoming attitude, how to see yourself as an overcomer. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's not too good a report, is it? How many want to serve the Lord? How many want to give their life for God? How many want to die for Him? Oh yeah, I'll sign up. Isn't that what Jesus came to do? He lived 33 and a half years, but yet He finished what He was supposed to do. So dying for Him, He knew that the reward of His death was far greater than His death. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the same shame and the suffering. Verse 37. You're going to get excited about this. Nay, in all these things. Say all these things. In all these things. What things? Sword, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror is an overcomer. More than a conqueror is someone who takes on the challenge. And they come out on the other side to give a testimony about it. Woo, they look back and they say, look what the Lord has done. You are an overcomer. We are an overcoming church. Now let me give you the rewards. Go with me to the book of Revelation again. Okay? I'm going to give you these and then as we progress, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. But I want you to understand something. Your overcoming is directly linked to you hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Too many times, people choose to ignore what he's saying. They ignore his voice. They ignore his commands. They ignore his instruction. Let me ask you something. Naaman was a soldier in Syria, and he had leprosy. And he heard through the grapevine, through one of his servant girls, that there was a prophet in Israel that could bring healing, right? And so he came to the prophet. What did Elijah tell him to do? He said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, right? Okay? That was an instruction that was inspired by God. And at first, he was a little reluctant to do that, right? Okay? I want you to listen. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay? Now, that instruction came through a man. But it was an instruction to deal with his leprosy. He said, I could wash in the rivers of Syria. They're much cleaner than that filthy Jordan River. And then thank God that someone could talk sense into him. See, and that's how a lot of us are. We react to God's word like Naaman did. I don't want to do that. Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do it that way? And someone said, well, Naaman, if he'd have told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Yes. So then what did he do? He went into the Jordan. He dipped 7 times. What happened? His leprosy was cleansed. Okay? So our overcoming is directly linked with hearing his voice. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Say, I'm the church. So that means you have a right, for the Lord is speaking to us, the church, the called out ones. And he says, to him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Adam was banned from eating that tree, but Jesus restored us so that when we get to the end, we're going to eat of that tree of life. Amen? So one of the rewards of overcoming is eternal life. Okay? Go to verse 11. He says this to the Pergamos. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Okay? So you're going to have, in other words, the second death refers to separation from God. You're not going to be hurt by it. It's not going to affect you. You're going to be delivered from hell. An overcomer can rest confident knowing that they're going to spend their time in heaven. Okay, so you're not going to be hurt by the second death. All right, go down to verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. So overcomers, you're going to get to eat the hidden manna. Did you know that you have a right to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven? God gives you the right. Do you realize that Jesus would talk in parables to the people, but then he would explain the parables to his disciples? They said, what did you mean by that? And it was his disciples that got the revelation of what he was saying. It was the disciples that got that which was hidden. You're going to get to eat the hidden manna, okay? And we'll talk about some hidden manna, but not tonight. So I'm going to make you hungry for some hidden manna. Amen? All right, and let's go down to verse 26. These are the rewards of overcoming. Verse 26, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. How many want to rule the nations? Only an overcomer will rule the nations. And notice what he said, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers or to pieces. even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So an overcomer is going to have power over the nations. Woo! You're going to be a ruler. After all, we are the kings that he's king of. King of kings, Lord of lords. Well, what does a king do? A king rules. And if you overcome, if you endure, if you get to the end, if you pass the test, you're going to be a ruler. Amen? You're going to rule. You're going to have authority. You're going to have power over the nations. Oh, and some people think they're just going to be like a little baby playing a harp on a cloud in heaven. No, there's going to be activity taking place. You're not going to be a little baby angel. You're going to be a child of God. You know, we see these pictures, you know, la-di-da, floating on a cloud. It's not what the Bible says. You're going to be ruling over nations if you overcome. So I want you to make a decision that you're going to overcome. Say, I'm an overcomer. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 5. He's speaking to this to each of the seven churches. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So as an overcomer, Jesus is going to be confessing your name before the Father and before the angels. You're going to have honor. You're going to get some of his glory. But you got to overcome. You can't be overcome by the trials of life. You can't be overcome by depression. You can't be overcome by physical incapability. You've got to be an overcomer. You've got to rise up. You've got to determine in your heart that you're going to take the Word of God, you're going to take the Spirit of God, and you're going to take on the challenges, and you're going to be an overcomer. You're not sitting on the sidelines. Oh, I'm just going to sit here and wait for my turn to get in. No, your turn to get in is now. Find something to do and do it with all your heart. Do it as unto the Lord. You're an overcomer. You've got to rise up when challenges face us. And don't think I haven't faced challenges here in the last 6.5 years, almost 7 years. We have faced some challenges. And guess what? I'm still here when the smoke clears. We're still here. Why? Because I'm here to overcome. I'm here to fulfill what God wants. God built this. This is not my building. This is the Lord's building. He set it on this hill for a reason. We've got a message to get out. And the devil cannot, I don't care what roadblock he puts in. There's no mountain big enough. If it's too big, God gives me hinds feet for high places, I just climb over it. Amen? Or I'll just go through it. If he tries to hit me with a van, I'll still keep coming. Look at verse 21. This is powerful. Verse 21. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says into the churches. How many want to sit with Jesus on his throne? Well, you got to be an overcomer. There's not going to be a whiny baby that's going to be sitting on his throne. No complainer. No grumbler is going to be sitting on an overcomer. Listen, an overcomer doesn't have time to complain, whine, or grumble. Okay, you're an overcomer. An overcomer speaks victory. An overcomer is not a victim, they're the victor. An overcomer doesn't have a victim mentality. An overcomer, it's not about you, it's about the Lord. It's about his work. You're an overcomer. Nothing can defeat you. I like what Pastor Hagen says. He has this slogan, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. He tells this story one time. He was wrestling with his uncle, and his uncle got him in this hold. And Pastor Hagin said, "You're going to have to break my arm. We'll go to the hospital and get it set." He says, "I'm not quitting." Think about that. His arm is pinned down. His uncle could have broken his arm. And Pastor Hagin says, "You're going to have to break my arm. We'll go to the hospital, get it set, because I'm not quitting." Say, "I'm not a quitter." Say, "I'm not about to quit." Say, "I don't even consider a temptation to quit." Quitting is not in your genetic makeup. You're a winner, not a quitter. You've got the victory. Thanks be unto God who always, say always, causes us to triumph. I love that verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. My goodness. I want to sit on his throne. He who overcomes will sit on his throne with him. Ephesians tells us we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But too many times, we don't act like that. We act like we're in an inferior position. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. I feel like saying Selah. Take a moment and think about that. Selah. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. This is after Jesus has overcome. He said, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things." Say all things. Oh my goodness. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But be fearful and unbelieving, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and the idolater and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whew, how many want to inherit all things? We inherit God's promises and experience their benefits? I'm telling you, you were born to be an overcomer. You were born to be a mountain mover. You were born to be a valley climber out of. You were born to fly with eagles. You were born to soar. You're born to reach great heights. You were born to do great exploits in the kingdom of our God. But it's up to you. First of all, are you hearing what the Spirit's saying? Are you taking it to heart? How many times does he have to repeat? "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Say, "I'm listening." Say, "I do what he says. I'm a doer." You know, in the days that we're living in, we're going to see more and more people depart from the faith. To be an overcomer means you're showing that you're not going to leave your Christian values. You're not going to leave godly principles. You're not going to turn. You're not going to trade it in for anything. You're not going to take up false doctrine. You're not going to get into error. Now, as an overcomer, you might have to be willing to be corrected from time to time, right? The Bible is profitable for correction, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and that you may be thoroughly furnished. Listen, if you're going the wrong way, wouldn't you want someone to tell you, "Hey, don't go that way, go this way"? Because if you're going that way, they might see something that you can't see. They might know something that you don't know. And as an overcomer, you got to be willing to change direction. You got to be willing to give up some things. You got to be willing to repent. Because what happened in Ephesus, he said that they left their first love. Each one of these churches had issues, just like all of us. But just because you have issues, don't let your issues stand in the way of you overcoming. You're an overcomer. Amen? We can overcome. We can do this. You can do this. with the Lord's help, with the Holy Spirit's help, with His Word, we can't win. We can't lose. We can win. We can't lose. Amen? So we're going to look. I don't know how long this will take, but the next few weeks I'm going to be talking about the overcoming church. And so if you're up for the challenge, we're going to see us overcome some things. Amen? So, Father, we just thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You, Father, that we're going to change the way we think about things right now. We are not going to be overwhelmed by our circumstances, but we're going to overcome our circumstances with Your Word and with Your Spirit and with all the tools that You've given us, Your name, the blood, our faith. And we thank You, Father, that we are well equipped to take on any challenge in the name of Jesus. So,